إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Inshallah, this is going to be the continuation of the explanation of the book Al-Aqidah al-Amawiyyah of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Wa qawluhu qala rahimahullah thumma rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qad akhbara أن أمته ستفترق ثلاثا وسبعين فرقة. ابن تيمية رحمه الله said, ثم الرسول, he said, also the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, for أكبر, he has given us the information, أن أمته ستفترق ثلاثا that his ummah is going to be divided into 73 steps. In that particular hadith, where he says, the Tarqat al-Yahud ila ikhtar al-Sarqina illa awfirhum, that the Yahud are divided already into 71 steps. The Tarqat al-Nasara ila and that the Nasara are also divided already into 72 cells. What are the circle of Ummati? He says, my own Ummah will be divided as well into 73. Ulluha finnar illa wahida. That all of them will be in hellfire except one. All of them will be in hellfire except one. So that is what Taymiyyah is referring to here when he says, "Summa Rasul," that even the Messenger of Allah was akbar, anna ummatahu fatastariqu thalathan wa sab'ina firqatan, that his ummah will be divided into 73 sects. Faqad alima ma sayaqul, he said, he knows that Allah has made him to be aware of what will happen in the future. What Allah has made him to know that the Ummah will be divided. Summa qala, then he says, inni tarikum fikum ma in tamassaktum bihi lan tadillu. He said, I have left for you something that if you were to hold on to it tightly, lan tadillu, you will never go astray. That's the promise from Allah and from His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In tamassaktum bihi lan tadillu. You will never go astray. So long as you hold on tightly to it. Because we have Allah, and that is the book of Allah. That is the book of Allah. If you hold on tightly to the book of Allah, you will not go astray. And that is why one of the struggles, one of the struggles of the Western world is to take away the book of Allah from the people. If they take away the book of Allah, the Quran from the Muslims, if they succeeded in taking the Quran away from the Muslims, then they can direct their affairs to wherever they want, however they want it. But so long as the Muslims are still going back to the Quran, even if they say something else in the morning, when in the evening, when they go back to the Quran, we come back with our senses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they feel it is to take away the Quran from them completely. And you have a lot of distractions today that will make a Muslim not to go back to the Quran or not to even open the Quran to read. See how far we are getting from the Quran, Muslims. We are getting too far away from the Quran. Wallahi. When I say getting too far away from the Quran, doesn't mean we do not have people who are even memorizing the Quran. We have them a lot. But that's what the Quran actually meant for alone, to be memorized alone. No. It is for us to read and ponder over the meaning. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ Don't they ponder over the Quran and over the meaning and the messages of the Quran? أَمَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Or was it revealed on a mind that have been at loss? Have the minds of the people been at loss that they cannot ponder over the Quran anymore? So this is the meaning of getting too far away from the Quran. We need to sit down with scholars that will tell us the meaning, the interpretation of the messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day in, day out. People are far away from admonition. They don't have time to sit in our court. They don't listen, even on the social media. If we have to scroll up and listen to something else, watch, you know, comedy, listen to music, that is more enticing, you know, than this, watching one shield, listening to its admonition on social media. That is the meaning of being far away from the Quran. So, Imtiyar Rahimahullah quoted this hadith. He said, the Prophet said to Allah, in the Tariq of people, I have left something with you guys. Ma in tamasakum bihi, that if you hold on tightly to it, you Muslims, lan tadillu, you will never go astray. And that is what he said in the book of Allah, the Tariq of Allah. Wa ruya anhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annahu qal, fi sifatil firqatin nadiyah. While he was describing the case of the Nadia, he said, Huwa man kana ala misli ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi. The only firqa that we see is the same sect. The same sect. Kulluha bin nar illa wahida. He said, all of these 72 being hellfire except one. And that is, ma. Huwa man kana ala misli ma ana alayhi al-yawm. Anyone who is upon what I and my companion are upon today. The Muslims coming, if they are upon what I and my companions are upon today, then they are among the people of the Nadia. He says, are we fully upon what the Prophet was upon? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are we fully upon what the companions were upon? In terms of belief, in terms of aqidah, creed, in terms of practices, in terms of devotion, it says they are the same sex. Then in Syria continues, says, فَهَلَّا قَالَ مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِذَوْهِرِ الْقُرْآنِ فِي بَابِ الْإِحْتِقَاصِ فَهُوَ ضَالٌّ. Why didn't he say that whoever holds on to the Zohir of the Quran, the apparent interpretation or meaning of the Quran, be bad in it, it's a fault. And the issue relating to Aqidah, Creed, Fahuwa, Dawn, Yun, that the person is going to be astray. That is going to go astray. Why didn't they say that? The Prophet didn't say that. He said he should hold on to the Quran. He didn't say that if you hold on to the Zohir of the Quran, that you go astray. Referring to what? The one we read last week. That those people, what they actually expect from us, from Muslims generally, is that whatever goes against your understanding of the Quran, that you just abandon it or you change the interpretation. Huh? The they believe that your aql, your brain, your intellect should precede the Quran and the Sunnah. Make the Quran and Sunnah come behind your intellect. Your intellect should be in the forefront. So if anything is coming your way, you should face it with your intellect. Does it make sense? If it makes sense, then go ahead. Then you can look for a part of the Quran to support your position. You can look for the hadith to support your position. Don't place your intellect behind the Quran and Sunnah. Is that what Allah said to Surah Al-Hujurat? يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. What they are saying is directly against and in contradiction to this ayah. Do not place anything in front of Allah and His Messenger. Not even your intellect. لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب. And fear Allah. And fear Allah. Because the one who is not going to place his intellect in front or before the Quran and Sunnah is the one who actually fears Allah. The one who actually is the sign of piety, true piety, not the stupid type. We were talking about the true piety. When you fear Allah, you hold on to the Kitab and Sunnah dearly. It's a sign of piety. So, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Do not place anything. The scholars in Mufassirun, they said, Allah did not mention one particular thing. He said, do not place in front. Place what? Place myself in front of the Quran and Sunnah? Place my understanding in front of the Quran and Sunnah? Place democracy in front of the Quran and Sunnah? Place any system of government in front of the Quran and Sunnah? Because Allah left it open ended, meaning anything can fall there within. Do not place anything, whatever it is, before the Quran and Sunnah. That is why it is left open ended. لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Do not place anything in front. So these people, the philosophers, the theologians, even those who ascribe themselves to Islam, among them, who are self-acclaimed scholars, you know, they are saying that you have to place your brain in front, forefront of the book of Allah and the hadith of the Prophet of Allah. Whatever makes sense to you, you throw it away. Whatever does not make sense, you throw it away. Or you change the meaning to submit to your own interpretation and your own understanding. And these are the people you have there a lot like today, you know. They are researchers, Muslim researchers or Islamic researchers in the Sharia of Allah. I don't know the kind of research they want to do today, that they will abandon the work of the scholars. Any research in Sharia of Allah, relating to the Sharia of Allah, that is devoid the work of the scholar, then that research is leading towards the Qabala. That research is going to lead in such a Qabala. So he said, Fahad la Qala. Why did the Prophet say, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Man tamassaka bi zahiri al-Quran fi babi al-i'tiqad? Anyone who holds on to the apparent meaning of the Quran on issue of the creed, فَهُوَ ضَلُّ is misguided. وَإِنَّ مَلْهَدِي رُجُوعُكُمْ إِلَى مَقَوَيِّسِ عُقُولِكُمْ. Why didn't he say that guidance is for you to go back to what your intellect dictates to you? Why didn't he say that? He didn't tell the companions that you should always go back to your intellect. He didn't say that to them. He didn't say, use your brain. It is not everything you see in the Quran that you follow. He didn't say so. Same thing I said, why didn't he say so? Rather, what did he say? إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمْ مَا إِنْ تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ لَنْ تَضِلُّوا. What I have left with you, if you hold on to it tightly, you will never go astray. Why didn't he ask them to go back to their intellect? وَمَا يُحَدِّثُهُ الْمُتَكَلِّمُونَ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدَ الْخُرُوجِ salata. He didn't ask you to go back to work with the Talimun after the first three generations, the best generations of us, after they have left. What philosophers have brought to the midst of the people. The Messenger of Allah did not ask people, you know, to go back to him. وَإِنْكَانَ وَالْنَبَى وَأَصْلُهَا فِي أَوَاكِرِ عَصْرِ الْعَابِدِينَ Even though that the aslu of this al-ilm al-kalam actually sprang from the later generation among the Tabi'un. Says, ثُمَّ أَصْلُ هَذِي الْمَقَالَةِ That is the statement that we are repeating here. مَقَالَةُ التَّعْدِيلِ لِلْصِفَاتِ Which statement is he referring to? التَّعْدِيلِ لِلْصِفَاتِ Those who negate the attributes of Allah. Those who negate the attributes of Allah. He said this ideology, this thinking, إِنَّمَا هُوَ مَأْخُوذٌ عَنْ تَلَامِذَةِ الْيَهُودِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ He said the ideology actually came from among the students of the Jews and the Mushrikun, the idolaters. The Mushrikun, the Jews, their students brought about ta'fid al-sifat. That is, going against the attributes of Allah. He said it's part of the work of the students of the Jews and the Mushrikun. وَبُلَّانُ الصَّبِدِينَ And those who have gone astray among the Sabi'un. Who are the Sabi'un? The Sabi'un, you know Allah mentions the word Sabi'un in the Quran. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ Allah mentions them about three different surahs in the Quran. The scholars say, who are these people? Who are these Sabi'un? Some of the scholars said, they are people of older generations who came even before the Yehud and the Nasara. Before the Yehud and the Nasara. Some of the scholars said they are Ubadul Kawakib. They are past worshippers. They worship the past. Some of the scholars said, there are righteous ones among them and there are Mushrikun among them. The righteous ones among them, there are Mushrikun among them, especially the later, the former ones. The former Sabi'un, he said there are righteous ones among them, there are evil ones among them, the Mushrikun among these Sabi'un. The Muqayyim Rahimahullah also wrote and mentioned some of the things about the Sabi'un, that the A'imma, the Imam Shafi'i, Imam Abu Hanifa and others, what they said concerning them. There are times they will say they are evil people. At times they will say some of them are good. Maybe they are upon righteousness. So, but lately, when you hear the story, lately, they call them the Sabians. These Sabians, they are mostly in Iraq and Iran. Mostly in Iraq and Iran. So the scholars describe them as people who have no religion. People who have no religion. These are the old. Because you have some of their leaders, during the month of Ramadan, they will pass Ramadan with us. Then they will also pick on the Christianity. They will do Christianity. A lot. They will speak from Judaism. They will do it a lot. What is their religion? So the scholars will say they are people who do not have religion. Definite religion they do not have. They are the Sabi'un. The Qayyim Rahimahullah mentioned a scholar who said the Sabi'un, he said they are just between the Jews and the Magians, the Yehud and the Majus. They are in between. They pick from the Yehud, they pick from the Majus. There are angels worshippers among them. Those who worship the angels among the Sabi'un. So it is clear to just say there are people who do not have religion, especially this present day Sabi'un. So Ibn Rahimahullah said, this maqala of Ta'fil al-Sifat that negating the attribute of Allah, إنما هو مأخوذ عن تلاميذ اليهود والمشركين وضلال الصالحين. So that idea of negating the sifat of Allah was actually taken from the students of the Jews, of the Mushrikun, and those who are born after among the Salihin. That فإن أول من حفظ عنه أنه قال هذه المقالة في الإسلام. The one that was documented that this statement emanated from him, that is the source of ta'til sifat. He said, "Who was Ja'ad bin Dirham?" So that was Ja'ad bin Dirham. وَأَقَدَهَا عَنْهُ الْجَهَمْ bin Sufwan وَأَزْهَرَهَا. He said, Ja'ad bin Dirham was the one who initiated negating the attributes of Allah. But that aqidah was not so popular until his student, Jahan bin Sufwan, who took from him, وَأَزْهَرَهَا. Then it made it very popular. It was Jahan bin Sufwan that made it very popular. And that is why it was referred to him. People will mention Jahmiya. I think he was the founder of that aqidah. He actually took it from his own teacher, Ja'ad bin Dirham. He took it from him. But he was the one that made it so popular. And that is what people say Jahmiya. Rafatil in the Ja'ad. He said it was said that that Ja'ad bin Dirham أخذ مقالته عن أبان بن سمعان. He said he also took that ideology. The first man now is Ja'ad, from whom Ja'ad bin Sufwan took the ideology. That Ja'ad, where did he get it from? How did he come about it? He said he took this maqala from Aban bin Sam'an. وَأَخَذَهَا أَبَان. Aban himself took it from Olu ibn Uqti Labid ibn al-Asam. He took it from Tolut. And Tolut happened to be the son of Labid's sister. Who was Labid ibn al-Asam? Labid ibn al-Asam was the one who charmed the Messenger of Allah, Yehudi. So the son of the sister of Labid was from, it was from him that Aban bin Sam'an took this ideology from, and that was Tolu. He said, وَأَخَذَهَا تَوْلُ مِنْ لَبِيدْ إِنْ الْعَظَمْ and Yehudi. And Tolu himself took that ideology from who? From Labid إِنْ الْعَظَمْ and Yehudi, الْفَاحِرُ الَّذِي فَحَرَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ. That magician who charmed the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So look at the chain of transmission of this ideology of ta'til sifat, negating the attributes of Allah, saying do not describe Allah with all the attributes, subhanAllah. So see the way it came from who? From a Yahudi. The source of that belief, ta'til sifat, was from a Yahudi, from Jews. They are the worst of people. They are the worst of people. They came into Islam, distorted the religion for the people, and went back. They did that a lot in Iraq, in Iran. All in this Iraq and Iran. They came into the religion, distorted the religion, they will have students, they pass those ideology on to the students, and they will go back to their religion. These students, they will be carrying this nonsense about. It became a big ideology that they are selling to people. These times of that are just spread. In Jamia right now, Allah said, وَكَانَ الْجَعْدَ هَذَا فِي مَثِيلًا مِنْ أَهْلِ حَرَّانِ. He said, this Ja'ad himself is from Harran, وَكَانَ فِيهِمْ خَلْفٌ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الصَّادِئَةِ وَالْفَلَاسِفَةِ. He said, there was a lot among the Sadi'ah, that is the Sadi'ah who we mentioned earlier, in Harran. The people of Harran said a lot of them are what? They are the Sabi'ah, the philosopher, the philosophers, Fakoya Ahli Din in Namuru, Wal Kan'ani Din, and Ladina Sunna Fada'ahu Mutasirin, the Sihri Din. He said, they took from these people, the philosophers, who happened to be the remnants of Ahluddin in Namrud, the remnants of the people who subscribed to the religion of Namrud, the Canaanites, and the like. He said, those people that some of the scholars have written a lot about their magic, that they are like, they're not different from magicians. He said, when Namrud, when you hear the word Namrud, who are Malik al-Sabi'a, al-An'aniyin, al-Mushrikeen. He said, Namrud is not like an alam, not a proper noun, like a proper name of the country. It's like a common noun. Eh? He said, is the Malik, the king of the Sabi'a, the Canaanites, the Mushrikeen among them. He said, Kama anna Sesro, Malik al-Qab, wal Majus. Just like Sesro is the king of the Majus and the Persians, you know, not the actual name of a person, but that is the name we give the kingship. When you hear Oluko, for example, in the pastor there, the name is not Oluko, but that is the name they give to that kingship. So the same thing is in Namrud, not the actual name, actually, but in the kingship, the title of the kingship. Then Wal Majmu, then Wal Fir'aun, Malik will keep Al Kufar. Just like Fir'aun too, is the king of the Kufar. Then Wal Najashi, Malik will have a Shaman Nasara. Fahua, Ismu Jim, Lasmu, Alam. It is not Ismu Alam, it's just the Kohana. So where is going with that? In our continent, the kind of story of Illa Qadila Minhum. Is that على الشرك وعلماؤهم الفلاسفة. At that time, the Saudi Arabia, except very few among them, they were upon shirk. They were upon shirk. وعلماؤهم الفلاسفة. And their scholars were philosophers. He said, وإن كان الصبي قد لا يكون مشركا. Even though a Saudi may not be a mushrik, بل مؤمنا بالله واليوم الآخر. That is, you know, formerly in those days. Like I mentioned earlier, some of them mu'minun, some of them mushrikun. He now mentioned the ayah. Inna alladhina amanu wal ladhina hadu wal nasara wal sabi'in. Man amana billah wal yawmil akhir wa amila saliha falahum ajruhum inda rabbihim wala khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun. That is to say that there are among the sabi'un in those days who are complete believers. In another surah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالصَّابِئُونَ وَالنَّصَارَى مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So that is in Ma'idah. Also we have in Surah Al-Hajj. He now said, لَكِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ أَوْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ كَانُوا كُفَّارًا أَوْ مُشْرِكِينَ. That a lot of them are called kuffar and mushrikun. A lot of them. كما أن كثيرًا من اليهود والنصارى قَدَّدُوا وَحَرَّقُوا وَقَوْرُوا كُفَّارًا أَوْ مُشْرِكِينَ. Just like the Yahud and the Nasara who changed their religion and they became kuffar, they became mushrikun. فَأُولَيْكَ الصَّابِئُونَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا إِذَّاكَ كَانُوا كُفَّارًا مُشْرِكِينَ وَكَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ الْفَوَاكِبَ وَيَبْنُونَ لَهَا الْحَيَاةِ. Like I mentioned earlier, that these people, they worship the kawakib, the stars. So we have known Allah al-Hayati. They will even build a structure of the path to worship it. They will build a structure for path. Like you have idols that look like human beings. They will have idols that look like path, you know, to worship them. Now he said, وَمَنْ هَبُ النُّقَاتْ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ فِي الرَّبِّ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ إِلَّا فِقَاتْ سَلْبِيَّةِ أَوْ إِدَوْفِيَّةِ أَوْ مُرَكَّبَةِ مِنْهُمَا وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ وُعِثَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْخَلِيلُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَيَكُونُ الْدَعْدُ قَدْ أَخَذَهَا عَنِ الصَّرْبِعَ الْفَلَاسِفَ. So the madhab of the Nufat, that is those who neglect or reject the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they believe that those attributes, they are sifat salbiya, they are negative attributes. You know, they consider it negative to say Allah has hands, that it is negative to describe Allah like that. So that is why they reject it. Then one of the things that Buddha said, Ibrahim, those are the people that Ibrahim was raised, you know, to acknowledge. That is the religion of Al-Islam. فَيَكُونُ رِجَعَتْ قُلْ أَخْوَذَهَا عَنِ الْقَوْضِعَ الْقَلَاتِقَ. So that ideology, that ideology, he said, جَعَتْ actually took it from the قَوْضِعَ, from the philosopher among them. Then he mentioned another person. He said, وَكَذَلِكَ أَبُو نَصْرِ الْفَارَوْضِ. Another person is Abu Nasr al-Farazi. دَخَلَ حَرَّان. He said he entered Harran. Don't forget, Jaal too was in Harran. So this Farazi who entered Harran was asked for the Anfala Sifatis for the Eid. Tamama Falsafati. He said he took the whole of that philosophy from the Sabi'a, from the philosopher in Harran. وَأَخَذَهَا الْجَهَمْ أَيْضًا. Jaham too took it from there. فِيمَا ذَكَرَهُ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ. Just like Imam Ahmad mentioned, وَغَيْرُهُ لَمَّا نَظَرَ السُّمَنِيَّةَ بَعْدُ فَلَاسِفَةِ الْهِنْدِ. He said Imam Ahmad mentioned the fact that Jaham entered into argument, so to speak, with some of the Sumaniya. This Sumaniya, they are Indian philosophers. They are Indian philosophers. It was said that Jaham Bin Safwan, when he got there, and these people, they engaged him. These philosophers, they engaged Jaham Bin Safwan. They asked him questions about his love. That, you have Allah. He said, yes, I have both. I have Allah. I worship him. He asked him, have you seen him? Have you seen him before? He said, no. Can you touch him? He said, no. Can you feel him? He said, no. Can you perceive any fragrance from him? He said, no. He said, so you are worshiping something that does not exist. If you cannot touch your God, you cannot feel him, you cannot see him, you cannot, you know, then what are you worshiping? That left Jaham Bin Safwan, you know, thinking, he went inside, he locked himself in. For complete 40 days, he did not say Salah. Why? He was confused as to who to worship. He was confused. Who do I worship? How do I worship him? Why have I been worshiping who look like does not exist? I cannot see him, I cannot touch him, I cannot feel him, I cannot hear him, I cannot perceive any fragrance from him. Then after 40 days, he came out. When he came out with his ideology of what? Of that Allah. Look at what he said. He said, that Allah that I worship is present in everything. It's present in this chair. It's present on that table. It's present in the moon. It's present in the sun. It's present even in human beings. That is what that will do. Just for him to give an answer, a response, you know, to this philosopher, he thought of saying that, okay, if I can touch this chair, I'm touching Allah. SubhanAllah. If I can touch the table, then I'm touching Allah. Because they asked him, can you touch your Lord? This is how we went completely after. So that is what Sayyidina Rahimahullah is referring to, that Imam Ahmad Rahimahullah mentioned Jaham Bin Safwan when he had arguments with the Maniya, the Indian philosopher. And those are the people whom Yadina Aduna Mena Urur, Masuwa Shintiya. They only believe in what they can see, what they can touch. That's what he believed in. And with the argument with him, we were able to get him astray from the path of Allah. And that is what Salah to say. Do not argue with the philosopher. Don't even bother yourself. Don't even bother, because they will leave you in hierarchy, in confusion. You don't bother yourself to argue with philosophers. Al-Farabi, that if they are mentioned here, this Farabi too, if you are used to people from big madrasa, and tell the seniors there, when they are talking about role models among the Arabs, You know, you mentioned Ibn Sina, you mentioned Farabi, the likes of who Imtiaz mentioned here. That Farabi too happened to be a philosopher. And Al-Imam Zahabi, rahimahullah, he wrote a tarjama of this Farabi. He said, Lahu Masonis Kathir. He said he had a lot of writing, publication. He said, Man Ibtaghal Hadiya Minha Dolla Wa Aro. Anyone who is looking for guidance from the book of Farabi, Dolla, he will go astray. Wa Aro. Not only to go astray. Aro, Yani, Waqa'a fi Hayro. Is going to be and be wandering in confusion forever. He will never go out of confusion. He said he had a lot of communication. That whoever reads with the intention of looking for hadith, guidance from that communication, from those communications, he said, Dalla wa ta'ala, he will go and pray. And that is what happened. One of those who read his book and went and said, was who? Ibn Sina. Ibn Sina happened to be one of the products of the publications of Al-Farabi. Look at. So the work of philosophers should be abandoned. Should be abandoned. Because it twists issues. Okay. The twists appear clear issues. They will twist it to create confusion in the mind of the reader. And you start doubting what you have known before. You were sure of it before. Then you start having doubts. Is it true? That can it be possible? So, he said, whoever reads from the words of Farabi, he said, Dalla wa aro. Some of those students will think that, they are going international. You know, they are current, they are exposed by having access to the work of the likes of Ibn Sina, that they are exposed, having access to the work of Farabi. It is completely misguided. That is what Imam Zahabi said there. And whoever goes through their book with the intention of looking for guidance, from what the philosopher, then he will go astray. And that is what happens to a lot of people who think they can get guidance of the work of the people. That's why the Prophet Rasulullah Allah mentioned the affair of this Farabi. He too took from the philosopher in Allah. A lot of these people, they are much. Up till today, you have the Sabians in Iraq, in Iran, and countries around that axis. Scholars will say there are people who don't have religion, they are philosophers. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to guide us and we will come back. Inshallah, we will stop there. Let's go to something. They will be considered as an ethnicity. You know, some of the historians said we were actually before the Jews and the Christians even. They are so fathers before the advent of Zionism and Christianity. You know, the way they call it today. So, and among them were people who say they are upon the religion of Nuhu. Those ones in Iraq today, do you know they believe they are upon the religion of Yahya? They say they are pulling Yahya, John the Baptist, that they are upon. So some of them, at times they will join the Muslims so far, and they will join the Christians to do their thing. So, people have to say they don't have own ethnic religion. So, they are like ethnic group, also kind of religious group, with a certain ideology, speaking from various religions. You understand, to form their own. That is whom they are. Allah Allah. Subhanallah. Allah Allah. Allah Allah. Allah Allah. Allah Allah.